Lord, let us pray this morning. Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for another opportunity to be in the house of God and to be with your people. To be in the house of Judah, the house of praise, the house of thanksgiving, the house of empowerment. We thank you, God, for meeting us here, bringing us here, for letting us know you are with us wherever we go. But most of all, right here in this moment, we say thank you. And Lord, we just thank you how you're always faithful, how you're always showing up, how you're always taking care of us. Surely you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, we thank you that you are our healer. We thank you that you are our liberator. We thank you that you are I am that I am. And Lord, we thank you for being this and that. And whenever you are these things, this, that, and the other, all we can say is thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we give you praise. Amen. Judahites, who are we this morning? Repeat after me who we are. We are spiritual beings who are one with Christ, having a human experience. Oh, y'all, isn't it wonderful to know that we are one with Christ? Oh, just to be one with him, like the song says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'm going to the word this morning. We're still with Romans 12, 2. Very short, sweet, to the point. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is. Somebody say, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Part two, our evil one. Protect them from the evil one, for they are not of this world, even as I am not of it. And we're still doing our summer series of balancing engagement with detachment, and we're doing it through awareness, being aloof and afar. And our topic of focus this morning is a unique one. Somebody say God's protection plan. We have God's protection plan, and today we're gonna learn it through the gospel according to Shrek. The gospel according to Shrek. Aloof and afar. Y'all know who Shrek is, right? Shrek is an animated creature from DreamWorks. There is a Shrek franchise, and they're coming out with Shrek 5 soon. So if y'all get a chance, y'all check out Shrek. He should be on Netflix, Amazon, all of those streaming sources. But today we're going to talk about the gospel according to Shrek and what it is like for us to be aloof and afar. So what does it mean to be aloof? Aloof is one who is not friendly or forthcoming. That person can be cool and distant. And then we have afar. Afar kind of relates to a location where we are. So afar can be from a great distance. It can be to or emotionally afar. I'm not feeling close to you today. Or it can be afar as in I'm in South Carolina and you're in South Mexico. It can be distant. So we're going to talk about an ogre. What is an ogre? An ogre is what Shrek is. And Shrek is that hideous giant of the fairy tales and folklore and they feed on humans.
I didn't know they ate people. I just thought they were mean.
A giant, hideous giant of a fairy tale. Or it can be a dreaded person or object. Somebody say a dreaded person or object. So y'all know how we always get the hookup with the acronyms. So we're going to talk about an ogre and being an ogre today. And the O-G-R to the E is obnoxious on the downside. Obnoxious, gross, repulsive, and enigmatic. Somebody say enigmatic. An enigma or explain. Enigmatic person is a person or a thing that's hard to understand or explain.
Sound like any people y'all know? Situations.
Not readily investigated, because you know you kind of step away from it. Not easily interpreted or understood. And sometimes it can be a mysterious person. That person is enigmatic. That means they're mysterious and they're obscure. You can't see what you're getting just by looking at them, can you? Somebody say enigma. Ask them, are you an enigma? And then there's the flip side. Well, not the flip side, but when we are in that place where we are being obnoxious or gross or repulsive or enigmatic, it can make us feel aloof, make people feel like they are aloof. We feel like others are aloof as well. Everybody's aloof. And it's because we sense that unfriendliness in the person, the situation. Something is off. You know something's there, but it's not forthcoming. And so either you, they, or it become cool and distant. And generally, you're not rushing to trying to figure it out. You're going to draw your conclusions. Have you ever realized that? I've done that before. I don't know what's going on here. And quite frankly, I ain't going to try to figure this out. Look like a dog, bark like a dog. Trust me, it is not a hyena. They don't make the same sound. And I ain't going to get close enough to look because both of them got fangs. And who can interpret it? Enigma. It's just misunderstood. Somebody say, just misunderstood. So when we are experiencing these ogre-like situations, and we are experiencing the obnoxious, gross, repulsive, and enigmatic, it looks kind of like this, according to Isaiah 5 and 20. Isaiah says, woe to the one who may be being ogre-like. Woe to the one who will call evil good and good evil. Who puts darkness for the light and the light for darkness. Sweet. The one who puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's why I don't like dark chocolate. Don't taste all as sweet as I like to. Got a little bitter taste at the end. Woe unto those, says Isaiah 5:20, acting all Shrek-like in his great ogreness. And then Colossians says, see to it that no one, nothing takes you captive by its philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition. Listen to this. According to the elemental spirits of the world. Somebody say the elemental spirits of the world. And not according to Christ. That means we will run into some situation things. It's just a part of the humanity that we have to constantly balance. Amen. Elemental spirits of the world. And when we're in that place, boy, if we're acting ogre-like, then we are being aloof, kind of enigmatic. This will be a good time for us to remember what Romans 3:23 says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So who really gets to be an ogre? There's a scene in Shrek. It's really a cool movie. Y'all know I love a franchise. And in one of the scenes, Shrek is upset. Shrek been trying to be nice, trying to behave, trying to be cool. Finally Shrek snapped, loses it. And he just roars, "Ah! I'm an ogre." Do y'all ever feel like that sometime? You trying to be kind. You trying to be righteous. And every now and then, you might not scream like Shrek, but you might have to move slow and still and say, "I'm an ogre." And then you give them the look. Whatever the look is, they get the look. Ask some, "Are you an ogre? Are you an ogre? Have you been an ogre lately?" No. That's the truth. And then there's the flip side. The one where we get to look at it a little bit differently through the light of Christ. And there's an ogre, as we can see in Shrek, that is optimistic, grateful, reconciling, and empowering. I'm going to say it again. Somebody say optimistic, grateful, reconciling, and empowering. See, this is why Jesus says, protect them from the evil one. They're not of this world, even as I am not of it. Somebody say, protect me from the evil one. See, we have to be aware that ogristic characteristics are spiritual and they are human. So when we're being optimistic and when we are being grateful and we're in reconciling, and see, when we're in a place of reconciliation, that means we really are trying to work it out. We're giving it our best. We really are being led by the Spirit. We are empowered and we are empowering others. And in that moment, that's when we become a divine ogre. Somebody say, "I'm a divine ogre right now." A divine ogre, guess what? It's hard to understand and explain. You being all nice and kind, somebody know something in the milk ain't clean. Got to get a Katie Webb quote in there. "What's up, Mom?" Mama would say, "It's a dead cat on the line somewhere." But you're trying to be good and kind and merciful and be like Christ, and you're being misinterpreted. Nobody wants to understand that. And now you're a mystery because you're hugging people you know already got the knife's still in your back. But you still going to be optimistic because you know who going to pull it out your back. Mysterious, odd, strange, obscure. Who smiles in the face of death, sickness, see resurrection, see good health. That's strange. But when you're a divine ogre, you know, according to Ephesians 2:8, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And it's not your doing. No. No doing of our own. This is a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 tells us. And then if we're going to hold on to it and be strong, 2 Peter 2:11 tells us we have to abstain from the passions of the flesh, i.e. our humanity, the world, because it wages war against our souls. So whenever we have to interact with those people who are behaving, or even ourselves. I don't like to blame other people because I can holler too. I have to remind myself. But the word says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles, other people, the neighbors, the family members that you don't like to see coming, the people on the job you just cringe. Oh, you know they out there, us. Full moon behavior. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you and they say you are an evildoer, somebody gonna see your good deeds and glorify God. You can still be an ogre, and all they can see is an ogre who was obnoxious and gross and repulsive and enigmatic, but somebody else will see that other one, that divine ogre. Oh, she's so optimistic. She's so grateful. Oh, I love her so much. Like a rock. Reach back and grab that from last week. Ugh. And she's so empowering. All she do is correct people. Sometimes we do. And then it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God. Please repeat after me. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Word of truth. Need to be ashamed. Rightly handling the word of truth. See, we present ourselves, our best self, to God because he's the one who's going to bring out the good ogre. We present ourselves, our best self, to God because whatever we present to him, he's going to multiply it. And he's going to make it better and better and better. Because I know I've done this before. I have tried to present my best self to people. You know what they say, put your best foot forward. Never have the, what is it? You never have a second time to make a first impression. So depending on where we are, we do present ourselves, the best selves, to others. But somebody say, what self are you presenting to God? And that's why when we start becoming this optimistic, grateful, reconciling, empowering, aloof, because it'll make people stand out for you. They can't figure out why you being so. Why you being so nice, Denine? Bree, what's up? Mm-hmm. But repeat after me. It's not what we do. It's the spirit in which we do it. How you doing what you doing? Denine, I have to call you out, but you have a phrase that I love that I'm gonna have to steal it. I see you looking like you're looking. I see you doing what you're doing. I see you loving like you're loving. I see you being kind like you're being kind. I see you looking like you're looking. What's up with you? What's wrong with your eyes? What you looking at? You looking at me, I'm looking at you. I'm watching you, you watching me. I see you looking how you looking. Why you looking like that? Eyes. These eyes. This ogre can make us feel afar. And when we are having that divine ogre experience, people might not want to get too close to you because everybody used to people being mean. Have you noticed that people are not really, they look at you funny like, why are you giving me a piece of candy? Did you poison it? The wrapper looked loose. Afar. But if you get it in far, yeah, I'm afar. I'm an appreciative, fair, affirming, reflective person. Somebody say appreciative, fair, affirming, reflective. See, I think about what I'm thinking about. We have to think about what we're thinking about because depending on what we're thinking, it's going to bring us closer to someone. And sometimes they don't. It is truly a double-edged sword. Mistaking my kindness for weakness, thinking I'm up to something, and I'm really being genuinely kind. But the one thing I would like to touch on really quickly that we have to remember, it's kind of off, but it's still there. Y'all, there is no such thing as tough love. Mm-mm. No such thing as tough love. See, I truly believe that when Jesus came and he bore everything in the cross, when he said it is finished, that was the end of tough love. Oh, I remember that God, that if you tried to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling and you trying to keep it from falling and hitting the ground, he'd kill you. Well, next time I live, I'm going to let the Ark of the Covenant crash. God just killed the man. Y'all remember that? Just swarms, famines. Touch not my anointed and do my servant no harm. Arms wither. People go blind. Leprosy. Y'all remember Miriam? We're absolutely sent. Ooh, these kids around here messing with people. Go down the road and two she-bears just come out the bushes and just rip them to shreds. I like that wrath of God as long as he ain't mad at me. Get him, Jesus. Not me, though. There's no such thing as tough love. You know why? My favorite new way of being in life. Y'all repeat this after me. I've been wise and I've been foolish. And whether I am wise or foolish, God is always kind. No such thing as tough love. You have to just take that moment. I have to remind myself. When I'm about ready to pull a Shrek. Are you being wise or are you being foolish? They being dumb, Jesus. Nope. There be at some point, it might have everything. But at some point, it really does come down to us. That's why we have to remember we are spiritual beings who are one with Christ, spiritual beings, one with Christ, spiritual beings. Having a human experience. And Roman gets real. when they say, do not be conformed to this world. We can't, this world be all tangling you up, trying to get you to conform. But we have to be transformed. And through the transforming of our mind, that's when, oh good that we are, we have to ask that question. Which is the evil one? For real. Or as the kids say, for real though. Which one am I being? See, whenever you start being reflective, we have to remember we are spiritual beings who are one with Christ having this human experience. And we have to pause and say, for real, what is that evil within me? Am I willing to look at the ogre, the evil one in me? Kind of judge he ain't you, ma'am. SOS, see others, sickness, sin, just stupidity. Oh, we SOS all kinds of ways, don't we? And then we have to ask, what are we hiding from ourselves that this ogre may be trying to defend us? Because, see, the ogre doesn't really necessarily have to be evil. It could just be being protecting us. Somebody coming for you, and we don't even realize there's a place that something's being hidden from myself. Something hasn't been healed, and that ogre shows up. What are we hiding from ourselves that God is trying to show us in plain sight? But we say, I'm an ogre. Well, honey, I just keep it real. That's just the way I am. Well, you know, I just tell it like a T.I. is. Okay. As we blame others. And there's a little ogre back there in the corner saying, it is me, oh Lord. It is me. And that's why we have to remember to be in the world, but not of it. It's not hard. It's a fun, adventurous journey. It's a fantastic voyage of understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's when we have the opportunity to truly say it like this. Do not be so well adjusted to your culture that the culture influences you to fit in. We don't even think about it. They acting crazy, I'm acting too. You hate it, I love it. Instead, fix your attention on God. That's where we are changed from the inside out. And then we can readily recognize what God wants from us. Talk about being an enigma. You trying to do what God is telling you to do, and you trying to do it quickly, and everybody think you strange. So you having a wedding for a funeral? It's strange, but there's a place where you get obedience and obligation clarified. Unlike the culture around you, though, won't they drag you down to its level of immaturity? So you trying to act wise and loving and kind, and they switch your intention around. Enigma. But God brings the best out of us. Even Shrek, developing well-formed maturity in us. Say, somebody say, even the Shrek in us. Because you know why? Jesus prayed. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. Whether that evil one is within them or outside of them. Because they're not of the world. They're an enigma. They're odd. They're mysterious. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. And so, House of Judah, My new Shrek fans, rise to your feet. Who knew that Shrek had a gospel?
I'm an ogre.
What kind of ogre are you? Are you obnoxious, gross, repulsive, and nasty, enigmatic? Yeah, I'm an ogre. I'm optimistic. I'm grateful. Yeah, I'm reflective. And I'm empowering. Because, see, whenever I look to God and God empowers me, I can let that flow through me and it can flow to you. And you will think I'm an enigma. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for letting us be in this world but not of it. Thank you that you show us how we are this and we are that, and how you just love us. Whether we are wise, whether we are foolish, your love does not change. Because it is not unto us, but it is need to you, our Lord. Jesus, you are all that we need so that we can be great representers of your love and your presence. Lord, we thank you that you hold every moment and you walk with us, whether it's in the fire or the flood, whether we are having diseases or our body may be filled with disease. We know that there's nothing impossible for you. So like every Shrek, real or imagined, we surrender all to you. And that's why we have to enter your gates with thanksgiving. We have to enter your courts with praise, because you see us where we are, whether we are being a divine ogre or a developing divine ogre. We thank you. Because every time we look around, you're blessing us. And we have every reason to rejoice. And that's why we believe. And so we stand here saying thank you for forgiving us, for transforming us, empowering us to be one with you. Spiritual beings, enjoying this human experience because of you. And so it's in your name, your loving, gracious presence, that we pray, we give honor, and we give glory. And we say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.